me, strange to say, I went and sat and washed there. Not only a wash, it was actual delousing system altogether, pretty well. Complete bald, and your arm, every hair of your body was taken off. And it's, mind you, it was a relief. But it's no good when they give you the same clothes back. But, it wasn't too bad for the, what, you know, for treatment. Not like some other poor devils. Mind you, it was a hell of a job to keep, you know, sane almost, because there was one chap in particular, Grenadier. I seen him pass. He was standing not far away from our hut and just looking around, and he crashed down and he'd gone. And I suppose I looked pretty much like it too, because all you seen was a kind of a skeleton frame. Eventually, after captured in the April 13, and we left that place on our way back to Blighty on the last day in November, with a drag from Pamain over to Stepping. Gentle walk, it took hours, but it was a build up. We knew we weren't stopping. We picked up a boat there. We must have got on it in the early hours. And right there was Gideon and Shiltoy. First thing on the Sunday was the steward on the ship. You go quietly going round. Tommy, white bread and butter, cup of tea, boiled egg. Yeah. Oh, what a nice thing to ask. And I was going round each one. We just had a little snack. It's two slices of white bread and butter, hard boiled egg, and a mug of tea. I asked him, I said, any extra? No. Now, lunch. I said, when? Round midday. And he gave me a ticket. He said, now you keep that. He said, hand it up. He said, when you get your lunch. And it was one of them. Well, I've never tasted roast beef. What? It wasn't real roast beef, cabbage, potatoes, Yorkshire. It was absolutely top off. I says, are we stop on this boat? He said, no, we're taking it off at Copenhagen. He says, or thereabouts. And they took us from there, pushed us under the train. And we finished up in Stratstrup, Denmark. Very nice indeed. Up meal again. Maybe I could stick this out all right. But it was very carefully issued. No extra of anything.
Tell me, how did you feel when you first were under fire?
Well, something similar to what I told the sergeant when we'd done a kind of exercise of that. I complained to him, I said, what a damn noisy affair. He said, oh, you were in for an eye opener. He said, or ear opener. He said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, but he said, it is a bit noisy. He said, but you grow used to that. But actually, I didn't think too much about it.
What about when you first saw bloodshed? Did that worry you?
No.
Not used to it?
No, I'd seen one or two. You know, odds and ends. One of the worst I seen was the... We got two Jack Sharps, sergeants in the battalion, well, company. There was Little Jack and Big Jack. In our retirement to the back line to get out of jelly when he attempted to get rid of us, the rum jar had been picked up and brought out of the trench and it was stuck on the top. Little Jack turned round and he says, "Hey, do some cover fire." He says, "I'm after that jar." Aye, just about within arm's length, and he dropped. Big Jack, he's immediately off. He stripped all his kit off and made a quick run for it. He managed to get the jar and he also got Jack. But Little Jack stopped a nasty one, and the other one did. And the rum jar got it too. But the one, Big Jack, he got a gaping hole in the back of his back. God knows what it did. But it was a horrible sight. And he was, of course, both of them stretcher cases. It's the blood business. It didn't worry too much. It's got quite a dream now.
You had some good friends.
Yeah.
You must have lost some good friends. Did it upset you at the time?
Well, I don't know if it upset too much. I suppose your mind was more or less acclimatised to it.
What was the funniest moment you ever experienced? Possibly in a bizarre sort of way. You must have seen some funny sights even amongst all the destruction going on.
I can't say as I anything worth recording as regards that. I wasn't there long enough to experience too much. Put me out of commission too quick.
Did you ever feel like cracking up at all?
No.
Did you ever see anyone crack up?
No. There was one chap that was going off a bit, but it turned out, from what I understood, he was in the same prison camp. He was a Scot. But I don't know what had actually happened, but he was raving at times about what he wanted to do. And
this was before he was taken a prisoner?
No, it was during the course of the prison.
Yes. What did you think of the Germans, having been a prisoner of them? Did you hate them, or did you have a...
No, not really. We landed as we reckoned with about the best section of Germans as you could, the sections. They were reasonable. But I shouldn't like to say the same about the Prussians. Where they got all the Uhland Guard from.
Did you ever see any acts of bravery that you would consider to be acts of bravery yourself?
No, I can't say that I did, because couldn't very well recall bravery when they went through the rum jar. Because the old chap that was with me, he normally had half a mile of rum. Well, the first life I tried to see it, it burnt my throat out. I've never been a beer swigger or spirits. I do have a tiny spot at night now.
What actually happened to this rum jar? Did it get hit by a bullet?
That crashed before the two jacks.
Did these two jacks survive, do you know, although badly wounded? You don't know.
There's crowds of fellas like that you never see again. Because when I got back home, I went into, sent back to Windsor, and waiting there for the battalion to return.
This was after the war was over, when you come back from the prison of war camp.
And I had to report to the doctor in the camp. Well, all the prisoners that went there, we got to go there for a check. Standing there talking to one or two that we'd come together down there. And the 2nd Battalion Coldstreams, they were taking Windsor over. Somebody turned around and hey, look who's over there. And I come across, he said, blimey, he said, Bill, he said, we thought you were gone. I said, what do you mean, gone? He says, well, you got knocked out. He says, in the first part. I said, no, the second part with me, and I went up country. There was another Birmingham fella, and he passed it on to another one. We all live within about a mile of each other. And the one, Billy Dutton, he was, I think he got up to sergeant. And he said, no, he says, matter of fact, he says, Ernie missed it by breaking his arm. He says, and he comes along in the 2nd Battalion. He says, well, look, we heard that you'd gone west. I said, no. I said, and it's the Dutts that died out. I said, I was stuck up in Germany.
Tell me, did you ever at any time feel homesick? Did you spend a lot of time thinking about home, particularly when you were a prisoner?
I'll tell you what spoiled me. I'd settle down, if I come out, I'll come out, but, you know, I got acclimatised to the fact is I probably shouldn't get back again. But to crown it all, I had a parcel. I had a letter turned up, first one I ever had out there, and came from mother, my two sisters. And they'd sent a parcel on, told me all what possible in it. The pencil, cake, chocolates, all sorts of things. And it never came while I was out there. I had a parcel come from Mrs. Christie, in charge of the guards area. And it got all sorts of stuff in. Half pound of sunlight, small, well, they wear penny scented soap bits. There was nosegay tobacco for cigarette maybe. There was 40 or 50 cigarettes, wood vines, bacon. It was quite a, you know, good part. Of course, and then I started think a bit more about home again.
When did this parcel reach you? When you were a prisoner? Or
Mrs. Christie did, but I never seen the other one. It travelled all the way around, I believe, various camps, and eventually it went back home. Same as a wristwatch started out, and it followed me all the way then, and they had to open it somewhere, find out where the devil it had come from. Which, when it was given to me, I must tell you, try it, but you best take it to the person that had got it. It was a jeweller, a friend of my sister's. And they put it in proper going order. I was never made for a wristwatch, not while I was soldiering. I kept on busting the top. But it was very, very nice. But all the stuff that was in that parcel, the chocolate, the cake, it was, of course, it started out there September. Reached me for October. Of course, he got back to mother and them, I think it was the 21st of March the next year. So I know what the parcel had been like.
By this time, you were back home, weren't you?
I was down at Windsor, waiting for me move up to London.
Now, what did your parents think when you joined up?
Well, your father. Unfortunately, he died a fortnight after I went. As a consolation, I've still got the card somewhere. They sent the cards stating that your son served with the Coldstream Guard during 1418. It was signed by it. Couldn't have the signature in. I know the card's still at home.
Was your mother told that you were taken a prisoner, or did she think that you were missing, presumed killed? Or?
Oh, that's what she got. They had that. Of course, the first thing that you send, that you're allowed to fill in the card. And they received it just over 3 months after I was captured.
So they had quite a worrying period then.
Yeah.
3 months or thereabout.
Because his brother passed away a fortnight a fortnight after I'd come into the guards.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Were you given leave to attend his funeral?
I was in hospital.
Oh, you were in hospital, were you? Yeah. What with?
Well, somebody put it down as influenza, but I put it down as bronchitis. Yeah. I'd suffered with it several years previous. And I shouldn't think influenza had angered. And I had 7 weeks in that hospital.
It didn't put your training back, though, this bout in hospital.
Yeah.
It did.
I had to join the... Well, I dropped into the awkward squad, yeah. I think. I never come across a lot like them. All I'd done was a fortnight, you know, learning to turn left and right. Now, it's the one reason why I wouldn't take on again. You get to go through another 3 months at Caterham. And after passing all through that once, and knowing what the answer to it is. Now,
did you find it difficult to settle down after you left the army?
Not a great deal.
When did you actually come out? In 1919?
September or towards the end of September.
Did you have any difficulty in finding a job like so many?
No, I'd got the job to go to.
You had. And they welcomed you back with open arms, did they?
Yes, it took on after I'd finished my odd leave.
Well, this is a a marvellous story, Mr. Wagstaff. I'm most grateful. I think I'd better go and do some work there now.